Good evening, friends. Hopefully everybody can hear me okay. Thank you for taking the time tonight to consider God's word. I'm sorry I couldn't be there in person as we're just at the end of our five-day quarantine here. So unfortunately, I wasn't able to come physically to deliver this lecture, but thankfully we have this technology that allows us to still go through this topic tonight. And we're going to be considering this question tonight. Does prayer work? And in today's society, this question is becoming more and more prevalent. For starters, less and less people believe in God. And secondly, we are told we can do anything ourselves. There's nothing we can accomplish on our own. We don't need help from God. And in society today, people are relying less and less on prayer. We're told we can do anything and everything we want. We're capable of solving all of our own problems. And it's up to man, not God, to do that. Well, when we look around at a world in utter chaos, well, we can, of course, see that fact to be false. It's becoming more and more clear that man does not have the answer. We cannot solve the world's problems by ourselves. And prayer can help us in this regard. It can help us understand that God is in control, not us. But before we answer this question of does prayer work, we need to lay a foundation on prayer. We need to understand prayer better. We need to know if it's required by God, or if it even matters what we pray about. Now, this is not a comprehensive look at prayer tonight. We're not going to have the time to do that. But you can find different aspects of prayer all throughout the Bible. God tells us how we should pray. He talks about our mindset when we come to him in prayer. And he also talks about how his son Jesus is involved. But for tonight, we're going to be considering just some of the aspects of prayer, to lay a foundation for us, to better help us answer this question, does prayer work? Because if we cannot understand prayer in a simple form, then what are we supposed to do with it? We would be unable to quantify if it works or not. Now, for tonight, we're going to proceed with the thought that God is in fact real and that we believe in him. We offer other lecture topics that cover this subject, but for tonight's thoughts, we're going to use that as an assumption, that everybody listening has some belief in God. Otherwise, the topic of prayer just wouldn't be relevant if we didn't believe in who we are praying to. Hebrews 11 verse 6 tells us this: but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We need to have a belief in God and that he will in fact hear our prayers. Otherwise, the act of praying is pointless. Belief in him comes first. For prayer to work, we have to believe in God and believe that he can do absolutely anything for us. So here's our agenda for this evening and what we want to answer. We want to cover the following questions about prayer. When should we pray to God? Is there a set time that we should pray? How does God feel about prayer? Is it even necessary? What is prayer all about? Why do it? Then we're going to cover some examples of individuals in the Bible who prayed and what practical lessons we can take away to help us in our prayer lives. Next, we're going to answer, how does God answer prayer? And there's really three answers that we can receive from God. We're going to go through each of those. And then lastly, we're going to come to a conclusion on if prayer does work and how we can monitor and quantify that in our lives. So let's get into this topic of prayer. For some people, prayer can be a first thought, or it can be a last resort. Some people may only turn to God when they feel there's nowhere else to go. But prayer needs to be for all situations, in bad times and in good, when we're happy and when we're sad, when we're thankful and when we're disappointed. This was the short reading we had tonight in James chapter 5. And if you still have your Bibles open and you're following along, we're just going to go through some of the lists and the examples of what we should go to God in prayer for. So James chapter 5. In James 5, we read verse 13 to 18, and these are the things that come up in this little section of verses about what we should go to God in prayer. Number one, verse 13, it talks about when we're tried or suffering. It also says when we're cheerful. It talks about in verse 14, when we're sick. It talks about when we've sinned in verse 15. We need to go to God when others need our prayers in verse 16. Also when we're in need in verse 17. Talks about that with Elijah. When he was in need, he went to God in prayer. And then verse 18, finally, when we're thankful. So the situation we find ourselves in should not have an effect on if we go to God in prayer or not. We need to go to him at all times, good and bad. Not just to ask for things, but to thank him for what he's given us. There is never a bad time to go to God. If you're questioning if it's right to go to God in prayer, have this section in James highlighted. Highlight each situation that we just went through. Just reading this short section of verses can encourage us to go to him at any time. So now that we understand prayer is necessary, no matter what things are going on in our lives, let's consider this question. How does God feel about prayer? If we want to answer if prayer works, we must first ask this question. Does God even care if we pray? Well, if you look into how often prayer is mentioned in the Bible, we could certainly say it was very important to God. Now, it depends on which version you are using, but the ESV, the English Standard Version, it tends to reserve the use of this word pray when referencing talking to God. And in the ESV, we get 338 mentions of prayer in 302 verses in the Bible. Which is a lot. There has to be a reason for it. When God references prayer that much, we can say that it's very important to him. But what do those verses say about prayer? Well, Proverbs 15 and 8 gives us a little insight for us, and it's up there on the screen for you. And I'm taking this from the New English Translation. It says, "The Lord abhors the sacrifice of the wicked, but the prayer of the upright pleases him." The prayer of the upright pleases God. Pretty straightforward. If we want to please God, one way to do that is through prayer. He sees value in that. What about Romans 12 and 12? It's also up on the screen there for you. It says, it tells us we need to be rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. God wants us to be continuously steadfast in prayer to him. Not occasionally, but all the time. We already talked about how we need to pray in all situations, and we need to make prayer a habit in our lives. It needs to be a part of who we are. Let's turn up a passage, and it's in Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. So if you have your Bibles open, if you have it with you, turn over to Philippians 4, And this is perhaps one of the most well-known passages for prayer in the Bible, but it's also good and comforting for us. It really drives this point about how God feels about prayer. So Philippians 4, and starting verse 6 and 7, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ," or through Christ Jesus. So in everything that we do, in any circumstance or situation in life, prayer to God is important. It is required of us by God. He will guide our hearts and our minds through prayer. But we need to be praying to Him in everything that we do, in the good times and the bad times, when we're thankful, when we're low in faith, just like it said in our reading tonight in James chapter 5. So let's summarize what we can take away from these verses on how God feels about prayer. Number one, prayer to God is something that pleases Him. Those who pray righteously to Him gives God pleasure. The second thing, God wants us to continually pray to Him, not occasionally. This isn't a matter of convenience for us. God wants it to be a habit. And lastly, in everything we do, in every emotional state, in every environment, prayer is required. He wants us to reach out to Him at all times. So it seems pretty clear that God cares if we're praying. He wants us to approach Him in this way. So that's a great foundation for us to start, knowing this is something that God wants and something He requires of us. So we've established that prayer is something God wants from us. So what is prayer all about? Well, simply, prayer is communication with God. It allows us a way to speak to God through the practice of praying. We are able to go to God with questions, with requests, with praise, with thankfulness for what we have, or maybe for issues that we're struggling with. Nothing is off limits when it comes to prayer. Now, we certainly need to have a respect for God in prayer and understand who we are approaching when we pray. But there are countless examples of people who have struggled with their faith or doubted God or doubted what He has done for them. And they've said as much in their prayer to Him. Back to that slide. Apologies for that. God wants us to go to Him with regularity. And that will mean sometimes we go to Him with faith, and sometimes it means we may be doubting Him and don't understand why things are the way they are. Regardless, prayer is meant for us to approach Him in all situations, to help us in the things of life, what we are feeling in that moment. And prayer is really our way of communicating with God. But that's only a one-way street when it comes to communication. There needs to be a back and forth. We should want to develop a relationship with God. So that means conversation back and forth. So that question comes up, how do we do that in today's climate? When God doesn't appear to us the way that He did back in the New and Old Testaments, well, it's still through His Word, the Bible. That is how He speaks to us. We need to be reading His Word consistently to better understand how God wants us to live, how He wants us to act. If we're not listening to Him through the Bible, why would he listen to us through prayer? This is a very important part of prayer life. We need to listen to what he is saying to us just as much as we are going to him in prayer. Don't just approach God and ask for things, or only pray when you want or need something. Think of any relationship. If it is one-sided and only benefits the one person, how would the other person feel? That isn't a relationship at all. A healthy and strong relationship needs to be both ways. It needs to have strong communication back and forth. Meaning, we also need to approach God and thank him for what we have, without us just always going to him when we need something. We can offer a prayer of thanks for the things that we're able to enjoy in life, knowing that he provides all things to us. Prayer is a two-way street of communication through God's word, the Bible. They go hand in hand with each other. So, since we know that reading the Bible is such a huge part of prayer, let's turn to examples from the Bible about individuals who went to God through prayer and the outcomes. There are some great practical lessons we can take away from these individuals to apply it in our prayer life. Because as we discussed, just praying to God is not good enough. There are other components God is looking for. So who are some examples we have of people praying to God in the Bible? Here's a list of individuals in the Bible who prayed to God. Now, this isn't an exhaustive list by any means, but it does show us that there are a lot of examples in the Bible of prayer. These people came to God in prayer and made it a habit in their lives. We have David and Solomon. We read of Daniel and Elijah. We just touched on that in James 5 in our reading tonight. Ezra, Nehemiah, we're going to touch on Nehemiah and Hannah's prayer as our examples this evening. We have Samuel, we have Jacob, we have Jehoahaz, Jonah, Habakkuk, Hezekiah, Jeremiah, Manoah and Samson, Moses, Paul and Silas, Christ and Peter. Now, of course, we're not going to turn up every example here, but we want to look at a few as we can take some practical lessons from what they prayed about and their follow through or their actions afterwards. So let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 1. And 1 Samuel 1 is the prayer of Hannah, who was unable to have kids at this point in her life. And she prayed to God about it. And we can probably assume that this isn't the first time she prays to God about this, but it's the first time it's recorded for us. So let's read that in 1 Samuel chapter 1. And we're going to start at verse 9 for some context. It says, "So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid of a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. So we read of Hannah's prayer here, and specifically her vow to God. So what can we take away from this prayer? Number one, she was very honest and specific about her request. Nothing was said in general terms, but her request was exactly what she was feeling. We looked at that verse in Philippians 4 that we need to be open, or we need to open our hearts. We can't be vague in our prayers. She also speaks about her emotional state. She says she is afflicted and full of grief. She brings her honesty and her struggle to God. She asks specifically for a man-child. Why does she do that? Because she makes a vow with that baby boy, saying she will give him back to God in service to him all the days of his life. And because of her vow, and ultimately that God listens to her prayer, Hannah makes sure that she keeps her word. This is something we need to remember in our prayers. If we say we will do something for God, we better follow through. And her follow through is brought up later in this chapter. If we skim down to the end of this chapter in verse 26, it says, And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshipped the Lord there. So our follow-through of prayer is extremely important to God. If we pray for something, and we give a reason as to why we are requesting it from God, and what we will do if we receive it, we need to keep our promise. If we are granted that from him, we better use it for its intended purpose. We cannot change course and go back on our word. Our word must mean something to God. Let's look at another example. And this is Nehemiah's prayers. And we could look at a few examples here because Nehemiah was certainly a man of prayer. In just a short number of chapters, we have multiple cases of him approaching God in prayer, no matter the situation. And I want to take a look at two quick examples, as there are good lessons on prayer from these short passages that we can take away. Now we read of Nehemiah's first prayer to God about the situation he found, his homeland. Jerusalem is destroyed and word comes to Nehemiah about it. So in chapter 1, he prays. His first thought is prayer to God. When he hears distressing news, he immediately goes to God in prayer. And this is a lesson for us. Our first reaction, our first thought should be prayer to God. It shouldn't be a last resort. God is there for us. And we're told to pray to him in all circumstances. So our first thought should be to go to God. With whatever we're feeling, bring it to God. Prayer can be a powerful thing in how it releases us of our burdens in life. We're opening up to God. We're taking that weight off of our shoulders. It can release the pressure and the stress in situations of despair. And Nehemiah knew this. The second lesson we want to take away is in chapter 2. So let's read Nehemiah 2, the first four verses here. It says there, And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine, and I gave it unto the king. Now I had not been beforetime sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was sore afraid, and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. So at the end of verse 4 there, we read of Nehemiah's prayer. Nehemiah doesn't have time to step away from the king here. He just offers a quick prayer to God for help. And that's what a prayer can be sometimes. It can be a short, quick prayer when we need help or guidance. His eyes were probably open, and it wouldn't have been but a split-second prayer. But that was enough. God accepted that. And Nehemiah gets the desired outcome. God guides his words, and the king grants this request, and God's holy city is rebuilt again. So the practical lesson we can take away is this. There is always time to pray. We can offer a quick prayer when we just need help in that moment of time. God will still listen to those prayers. There does not need to be a set length of prayer, as long as it is a righteous request. The last lesson we want to take from Nehemiah is in chapter 4. Just turn over a few pages to Nehemiah 4 and verse 9. And it's just a short verse here, but the lesson is powerful. What we'll do is we'll start in verse 7 actually for some context here. It says in Nehemiah 4, 7, but it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah, the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. So what do we take away from this little verse here in verse 9? As Nehemiah has done in the past, his first reaction is to go to God in prayer. He hears this news, and his first thought is to pray. But it's what follows his prayer that is important, and the lesson we can apply in our lives. It says, they set a watch against them day and night because of them. They still took action after they prayed. They didn't sit back and hope that God would protect them without doing anything. They didn't say, oh, well, now we're good. We prayed, so we can just trust God to protect us and we can sit back and do nothing. That's not how prayer works. We pray to God and take action, assuming our actions have the best intentions. If the intentions are pure and of a righteous nature, that is why it's so important to read his Bible. It will tell us what righteous actions are, so we can follow through in making decisions. God can guide our actions. He cannot guide inaction. So these are some great lessons to take away from individuals in the Bible that prayed to God, and we can certainly apply those into our lives. And so far, what we've done is we've considered that God requires prayer from us and that we need to do certain things when it comes to prayer. But we've not answered if prayer works. To come to a conclusion about this question, we need to understand how God answers us. There are some important things we need to remember when it comes to the potential answers we can receive. The number one most important thing about prayer is we need to be ready to accept the outcome. That is number one. We need to accept the outcome. Regardless of the answer, we accept it. We cannot go to God in prayer and ask for help in a decision in life, on where to live, on if we should take that job, on making big life decisions, if we cannot accept a no from him. We cannot expect everything to be a yes from God, that every door will be opened for us. We need to have faith. He knows what is best for us. Turn over to Romans 8, verses 26 to 28. And this is a great section talking about how God knows what we need even before we ask of him in prayer. Now, that doesn't mean we don't still go to him in prayer. That's still required. It just means he knows everything we need in life. Romans 8, verses 26 to 28, it says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." He knows what we need before we even ask of him. He knows what will be a help and what will be a hindrance to us. So there needs to be a full belief in the answer we receive from God when it comes to prayer. A full belief that no matter what we may think, we do not know what is best for us. We do not know what the future holds. And God doesn't always give us things that help us. If we ask for something and believe that it's something so important to us, but at the time not really realize it could have a negative effect on us, God can still grant us those things to teach us we're not in control. We do not have all the answers. He reminds us that sometimes we don't know what is best for us. So it's important to remember that we really need to consider the intent behind what we're asking of him. And when it comes to answers to prayer, there's three answers that we will receive. The first answer is a yes, or God grants us the thing we are asking. It may be something we are given or an opportunity in life. Perhaps you've prayed about being happier in life or being more optimistic. And we've been able to feel that since we've gone to God in prayer. God can open doors to us through prayer. The second answer is a no, or a door closing. And in some cases, this may be obvious to us. We pray for something and that opportunity is now gone, or we noticeably see that the thing that we prayed about is no longer an option for us. Sometimes it will be very clear when something is a no from God. And the third one is a tough one, because other times it may be not so clear. And that's where we get this third answer. And that is a non-answer, or there may be a delay. God has not given us a clear answer for whatever reason. We've prayed about this thing, and we weren't granted it, but it wasn't a clear no from God. How do we take that last response? What are we supposed to do? First, we need to ask ourselves our reasoning behind the request. Is it genuine? Will it help me serve God better? To be a better person to others? To be put in a better position to help others? Or is it a selfish request? Is it for personal gain? For personal reasons that we want it? Do we want the better job because, frankly, the money is better? Or the bigger home or the flashier car? It gives us a better status to others because we want them to see us as successful. But if we find ourselves in that first scenario where we feel the request is genuine and for the right reasons, then we can continue to pray to God for that. Perhaps it's not the right time for us to receive it. And Isaiah 30, verse 18, sums this up very nicely for us, and it's on the screen there for you. It says, "Therefore the Lord will wait, that he may be gracious to you, and therefore he will be exalted, that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him." Blessed are those who wait. Being patient in our answers from God is something required of us. It's there to teach us something. I've recently gone through a scenario like this. I prayed for something for a year, and I never received it. And at times, I was frustrated, and I was questioning the reason behind why I didn't get an answer from God. I felt it was a righteous request. I felt it was something that I could continue going to him for, but I didn't receive an answer for a year. And you don't realize what God is trying to teach you as you go through a time like that, where you're praying for something earnestly and not getting an answer. And it's unfortunate. We as humans struggle to understand things as they're happening, because it's not until after that we usually look back with hindsight and we understand what was happening and why it was. And that experience taught me two things. Number one, it taught me patience. And that's something I was never good at and am still struggling with. And God knows that. And it forced me to be patient, to wait for him, as it says in that verse we just read in Isaiah 30. The second thing I realized was that I wasn't in control. God was in control. And that's a really, really tough thing to accept as humans, that we don't have control over our lives. In an instant, it can all change. Life can turn in a blink of an eye. And trying to understand God is in control and being okay with that is a lifelong learning process. And frankly, something we should be praying to God for help in, to help us understand he is in control and to be able to accept it. Because our human nature doesn't want that. It doesn't want to accept we're not in control. But prayer can help us overcome that. When it comes to answers in prayer, especially if it's a no or we don't receive an answer, we still need to accept the decision that was made by God, since those are still answers to our prayers. We need to accept the outcome because we're still given an answer, but we just didn't particularly like it. There's this great verse to remind us of God knowing what is best for us and that he is there to help us. And that's in Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3 verses 5 to 6, and this is from the New English Translation. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will make your paths straight." Trusting God with our whole heart, a key ingredient when we're talking about prayer to him. For it to work, we need to place our full trust in him. We need to know that he knows best and that we need to accept whatever the outcome of our prayers are. For us to understand if prayer works, there were a number of things we had to consider first, key components of prayer. Many things that we need to do before we can answer if it works or not. We talked about how prayer is required by God. He feels very strongly about prayer. It's important to him to go to him in all circumstances. We need to have a two-way of communication. We cannot just pray to God and not listen to him through his words, the Bible. No relationship is one-sided. It requires us to open the Bible and to listen to what he has to say to us. We discussed how prayer needs to be offered in every circumstance in our lives. Not just in the bad times or as a last resort, but in the good times, in thankfulness to God for what he's given us. We looked at how there are requirements before, during, and after prayer. There needs to be action, righteous action following prayer. We need to be true to our word, that what we promise to God must be kept. And we discussed how there's three answers to prayer. And we need to accept each outcome. We need to be okay with not getting the things we want or not receiving the answer right away. So those are some of the key ingredients we need to have to be able to understand that prayer does work. But how do we quantify prayer? How do we practically monitor if it's working or the answers that we receive from God? This is where I want to give you a practical piece of advice to take away tonight. Something to help us answer this question of, does prayer work? Keep track of what you are praying for. If you are questioning if God hears our prayers or if prayer works, keep a list of those things. Write them down so you can keep tabs on them, so you can monitor what you are getting answers to. What was a yes? What was a no? Or what you've not received an answer yet? You may be amazed at the results of just doing that simple task, to physically track what God is doing for us. It may be something emotional, like asking to be thankful for what we have, or to be happier in life, or to be more positive. And you can track your attitude in those journals. You can see over time how that has changed in your life, where circumstances have opened up to change your attitude, where you can feel happier and more positive. Also, write down the things you thank God for, the things you notice he gives you every day. When we look back at what we've written down, it can help us to not lose sight of how much he blesses us with every single day. We can be so much more appreciative for what we have. And write down the specifics of what you are asking for. Write down the things we promise God and make sure we are following through with them. Anything and everything we are going to God with, write it down. It will help us remember and see that God does in fact answer our prayers. Prayer does work. We just need to keep our eyes open to those things and not lose sight or forget of those answers. Tracking our prayers can go a long way in seeing it working in our lives. So to end tonight, I want to leave you with one last thing. And this is the most important thing if we don't know where to start. If we've never prayed to God. If we're hesitant to do so for whatever reason. Just start praying. Just try it. We won't be able to see it work if we don't begin to try. There are things you may have never noticed before that prayer makes you aware of. The hardest part is getting started, and you will be amazed at the power of it. You will feel a weight lifted off of you as you can be open and honest with God. You can tell him things that you cannot tell anybody else. You can open your heart to him, both the good and the bad. He is open to hear us. And we can feel the impact of getting that thing off of our minds that is causing us stress or anxiety. Maybe we feel that we would be judged by telling someone else about what we are going through. Not with God. We can tell God about it, and he can forgive us of those things. But we must believe in him, and that he will be able to do those things that we are asking. And we must accept the answers we are given. No exceptions. Now, there are other steps involved that God asks from us as believers in him. But you'll have to come back another night to find out what those are. For tonight, it's important we just start praying and be amazed at how it works. Thank you.